Welcome to Parents' Perspective. I don't know what to do. Melanie stacked the last of the bath towels in her laundry basket. Graham is constantly complaining about his teacher. What does he say? Her friend Lila reached for a pile of dish towels to fold. He says he's getting picked on and that he can never get things right for her. Melanie wrinkled her brow. I'm not sure just how to approach her. It's hard when you don't know the person you're dealing with, Lila commiserated. I felt much more comfortable dealing with my kids' teachers when I was the weekly library helper. She handed Melanie a stack of folded dish towels. The teachers all came in from time to time, so I got to know them. Then when Benji had that tough spell last fall, it wasn't so weird to sit down and talk with Mrs. Cooper. Melanie started for the kitchen with the towel. Maybe when the PTA next asks for volunteers, I will raise my hand. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about parent involvement in our children's schools? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today's guest has a long history of communication expertise. Eileen Kugler has been on the front lines of communications for more than three decades, including work as a journalist, information director for a federal agency, manager of several nonprofit organizations, and consultant to business and industry. She heads Kugler Communications for Public Relations, Strategic Planning, and Speaking and Planning. Inspired by her own children's educational experience, she wrote the award-winning Debunking the Middle Class Myth, Why Diverse Schools Are Good for All Kids. Eileen is the mother of two grown children, a son and a daughter. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Eileen.
I am very pleased to be here. It's a great topic, and I'm happy to be able to contribute to it.
Why is it important for parents to be involved with their children's schools, and how did you get into this to begin with?
Well, first of all, that was a great opening story because it really shows that sometimes just by being connected to the school, by being comfortable with the school, you have the opportunity to get to know your child's teachers more, to have some informal interactions that will benefit your child. What the research shows is that children whose parents are involved, or aunts and uncles or grandparents, are children who tend to do better in school. They are more engaged themselves in school. They get higher grades on tests. As they get older, they choose more rigorous classes. They go on to post-secondary ed. Basically, you are improving your child's potential for success, both academically and socially, if you get involved in school.
What kinds of participation are possible these days for parents? We come from the old school where you would help go on the bus for field trips or you would help shelve library books. Are there other things that are new on the market that parents can gear into?
Well, I think the old standards are still there. I think particularly in these times that we live in, school budgets are shrinking and volunteer hours tend to be shrinking too because of commitments parents have in other aspects of their lives where they can't necessarily get to school. So if you have the flexibility, the luxury of a schedule where you could devote a few hours to doing the more traditional types of volunteering, that is sorely needed in school. But beside that, there's also the way of partnering with schools. That's really what the schools that are cutting edge in parent engagement are doing. It's not just an information flow of how do you do this, parents. We're going to inform you. We're going to tell you what to do. But rather this idea that parents themselves have insights about their children. Parents have life experiences that will be valuable for the other children in the class. And so it's this idea that we are partners in your child's education. And together, we're going to talk about curriculum. We're going to talk about how you can support the curriculum at home, which may just mean making sure homework's done, making sure the child gets enough sleep. And then when the parent is connected to the school, the child sees that and sees that, again, it's the teacher and the parent working together to benefit the child. Another new area, if you will, where parents can really have a very gratifying experience is what happened with me, which was I became involved in my child's school largely because it was an increasingly diverse school. At the high school level is when the school my children went to was much more diverse. And what I saw was a school with a lot of tremendous benefits to it. All the children were benefiting from being in class with each other. And as sometimes happens, you see only a certain type of parent who are involved in the school, the parents that know how to do it. They call it social capital. And there are a lot of parents who are very, very committed to their children's education who don't really know how to navigate the system. So I became involved in PTA and doing outreach to a broader community. And the benefit is that when you have more parents involved, everybody benefits. The school is strengthened. Everyone's children get a better education, and that includes your child. So to move from the focus of what can I do here to benefit just my kid to what can I do to strengthen the entire school for my child and everyone else's child.
What if you feel part of a school community where parent involvement is not encouraged? How do you go about trying to involve yourself?
First of all, I suggest everybody take a step back and think about what does that parent involvement mean? There's this whole element out there of what have been dubbed helicopter parents, of parents that are hovering over the teacher in the school, wanting to make every decision that goes on in the classroom, wanting to make sure their child gets no bumps or bruises along the way. And, you know, I'm married to a teacher. My daughter is a teacher. My mother was a teacher. I understand educators, and they do want parent involvement, but I think families need to think about, are they trying to partner with the teachers or are they trying to tell the teachers, I know how to run this better than you do? And I think we need to go back to the idea that teaching is a profession and these are trained professionals. That being said, if you feel appropriately that you want to partner with the teacher in the school and that's not being encouraged, I would start with the individual teacher. I would meet the teacher after school sometime, make sure you're taking every opportunity to go to open houses, to go to any events where families are encouraged to come. I would maybe send the teacher an email and just say, hi, just wanted to let you know I am Zoe's parent and I want you to know that I'm here and would be happy to talk with you. If you want to open some more doors at a larger level, at a school level, I'm a strong advocate for parent organizations, for the PTA, for the PTO. I think you are much more able to affect change on a school or a district level by being part of an organization. And again, to go back to what I said earlier, the goal of that organization should be to strengthen the entire school, to make it a more welcoming place for all parents. If you go to these organizations and say, my child isn't getting this, I want this for my kid, it's not an effective way to promote change.
I'm wondering whether when you make this overture to the individual teacher, it would be a good idea kind of to come with a carrot at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, we certainly appreciate the amount of hours you're putting in or any kind of positive statement at the beginning.
I think that's great, and I think it needs to come from your heart, you know? I think that needs to be a carrot that you've grown and you're picking and you're giving to that teacher, that it needs to be an authentic respect for the teacher. And again, it's tough to be a teacher right now. Anybody that goes into it, young teachers who are coming out right now who understand how rigorous it is right now, how many requirements there are, I think we need to be patting them on the back and saying, what can I do to help you? And they may not be the perfect teacher for your child every moment of every day. But again, if you protect your child from every difficult moment when they're in third grade and seventh grade and ninth grade, when they go to college and when they are young adults, they will not have the preparation to deal with real issues in life. So sometimes they need to be able to get over a few bumps in the road without your solving every problem for them.
Wouldn't you say that many times parents really can't predict who the best teacher would be for their own child and how their own child might respond to a particular kind of teacher?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think if you don't give them the tools to get along with someone who isn't exactly the kind of person that you might think is right or they might think is right on any given day, then they come out there without the ability to function in the workforce. How many of us have never had to work with a difficult person?
What if our child is embarrassed by our participation? I'm particularly thinking of teenagers.
I love this question. I just love it. And it's not the first time I've been asked it. And I find it fascinating because you wouldn't hear a parent say, what if my child is going to throw a fit unless I feed candy for breakfast? Mm-hmm. you understand what the right thing to do is. So because your child might say, oh, mom, don't go there, my friends will see you, that doesn't mean you don't go. I have a great story of my daughter when she was in sixth grade. She came home and she said, oh, you will not believe what Lauren's father did. And we were waiting for this horror story. And we said, what happened? And she said, he came to lunch at school and sat with her.
Adorable.
He probably wouldn't do it again, but he did it for many years. And somewhere between fourth and sixth grade, whatever, it became an embarrassment. And that also speaks to this question of how do you get involved in middle and high school? Far too many parents say, oh, it's okay, I'm not going to get involved anymore. It's not my time to get involved with a child. Boy, is that not the reality. We all know that adolescents need parenting at least as much as young children, if not more, and they need you to be around. So middle and high school is the time to really get involved. That's the time, again, to get involved in the PTA or if there's a PTO, to do the booster clubs, the band boosters, the theater boosters, the academic boosters. Do something school-wide where you're getting to know how the school operates. You get to know the teachers, the guidance counselors, but you're not in your child's face all the time.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on parent involvement in schools.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Eileen Kugler about parent involvement in schools. The other thing we found with high school was because the child spends a whole lot less time per teacher, the teachers don't always know the child as well. So these conferences or any kind of FaceTime or any kind of personal connections can be a real boon to the teachers. We found in our own personal experience that the teachers were deliriously happy to know what happens with the child outside of class. What are his interests, his hobbies, you know, what does he focus on? And that's a big help that they can sort of use in the classroom.
I think that's a wonderful point. Again, it's the partnership. Parents think, oh, the teachers don't want us involved. And they don't want you overly involved. They don't want you telling them how to run the class. But they do want you around. They do want to hear your insights. They do want to know how the child is doing outside their class. And for me, as a parent getting involved at the high school level, boy, I found that valuable. My children had gone to a co-op preschool where I knew everybody and everything going on. And then they went to the neighborhood elementary school, and I knew all the parents. And then they went to a regional middle school. It was a little bit less. Suddenly, they're in this big, diverse high school, and I don't know anything that's going on. And I remember I started to go to a PTA meeting, and I saw a friend of a friend there, and I said, please help me out. My daughter was just invited to homecoming. She is a freshman. I don't know this boy. I'm scared to death. Freshman year. So I said, what do I do? Am I allowed to ask to meet this kid? And the mother said, of course you are. Have him over for dinner. Have pizza or something. I thought, wow, I am? You know, so I just kind of took a deep sigh and got the rules of how you're allowed to operate and what the parameters are and started building those networks of parents I could talk to. Boy, is that critical. If you do not get involved in high school and know your children's friends, parents, or where they're going, boy, it's going to be a difficult time for you to navigate. It's much more effective if you're just in there as one of those parents who other people know. You know, in terms of also the mixed messages you tend to get from teenagers, this is another one of my favorite stories. My daughter was a cheerleader for just one season. She's a gymnast, so she was the one they tended to be throwing up. And we went to a basketball game to see her, and she said, now don't bring a camera, because she knew I take pictures everywhere. So I didn't bring a camera. And this literally happened. We got home and she said, did you get a really good picture? I said, you told me not to bring a camera. But she thought I was going to ignore her. So you really get these mixed messages of what they want and what they don't want. My son quickly learned that if I was around the high school, if he was out of money, he could find me and get money. He had fewer problems with my being around than my daughter did.
Are there disadvantages to being personally involved in a child's school?
I think it's always that fine line of how involved should you be in your child's life. And as they get older, again, you want to pull back a little bit at each different stage because you do want them to be independent. Having two young adults as children, it is a really wonderful thing when they pay their bills by themselves. They are gainfully employed. And I think you need to be looking toward that goal of them being independent adults who are following their dreams and know how to get there. So when you back up and you look at your involvement, you want it to be appropriate. You want to be tied into their school, giving your insights, but giving them some room to breathe. I was reading about the idea that parents are now texting their children. They're saying it's not nagging, but it sure looked like nagging to me. And there was one story of a father who literally checks his child's work every day on the Blackboard, which is the interactive site, with parents. And every day he will text his son a message of, oh, why didn't you hand your homework in? Or why'd you get that on the test? And I thought, I wouldn't want a boss doing that. Mm-hmm. I used to sit next to a boss and we shared a wall and she could hear my phone conversations. And she would, after I hung up, say, well, why did you say that? Or who did you call so-and-so
oh,
first?
My.
So, I mean, I've somewhat had that situation and I thought that to me is overly involved, overboard. So I think there is that tendency sometimes to want to be protective, to want to keep the cocoon around as long as you can. And I think they just don't become butterflies unless you start pulling that cocoon away a little bit. I thought it was humorous that one of the parents who was talking about this said, well, I can do this without the nagging voice. But I think, you know, when your child sees it all the time.
How to turn your kid off of technology.
That's right. You know, or just not start responding to the emails or the text messages you send. So I just think all in all, involvement needs to be – it can be a very positive way for you to be a part of an important thing in your child's life, to be supportive of school, to partner with teachers and the school, to be involved school-wide, district-wide, advocating for your child and others. It's a great opportunity, but I think you always need to keep in mind that it is your child's life and you want to make sure they're living it.
Have you seen any long-term results from parent participation in a child's school?
Yes, I have been reading a lot about long-term results. There is a great effort to document the value of parent engagement because it has tended to be one of those nebulous issues. You know, how do you separate out family engagement from all the other factors? Good schools with a lot of great teachers also tend to be welcoming environments with children coming in and parents coming with them. So it's been hard, but there hasn't been an attempt to document long term. And the National PTA just issued an issue brief that looked at promising practices for how school districts promote family engagement. One of those was a school district in Maryland, Prince George's County, where they tracked academic progress in schools with strong family outreach efforts. And they found that the schools with higher family engagement had greater gains in AYP, annual yearly progress, which is the key way you measure success under current laws. There's also been a long-term study of Chicago parent centers. They were looking at the parents of younger children. It had a major impact on their children's academic and social success in school throughout their lifetime. So there is documentation that shows this is for real.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on parent involvement in schools.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Eileen Kugler about parent involvement in schools. What changes would you suggest that could help us advocate for stronger impact of parent contact in the schools?
I think the key point is that engagement becomes a two-way street. And again, I see this going on in schools. I see them moving toward this. It's going to be challenging for schools which are dealing with shrinking budgets right now, and they're dealing with a lot of issues on their plate. So I think it's important for families to keep this on the front burner. And that is that it's not just information coming from the school to the parent, but it is a dialogue that goes on. And you have to provide opportunities for those dialogues. Sometimes they're principal coffees. A lot of schools will have that. Sometimes there are parent centers, and these are particularly valuable in communities where there are many families who don't have the background knowledge of how American schools work. I have done a lot of work with immigrant families. And there is a myth out there that families who grew up in other countries and come to the United States don't really care about their children's education. Where did the myth come from? They tend not to come to traditional parent involvement sessions. They tend not to come to these big back-to-school nights, which can be intimidating. But if you create opportunities for them to come into the school, they are there and their commitment is very obvious. They came to the United States for education. So I've worked with immigrant parents helping them navigate the system, and it's just been incredibly rewarding. And a lot of schools now have family liaisons who do that outreach to parents who may be disengaged. They create family centers where you can come and be involved. And I think those are the kinds of things we want. We want to create a welcoming school where families are not an afterthought, but they are a part of the whole process of building a stronger school.
If you were an ethnic minority new to the area or someone who was not from the area where your children are now going to school, what would you want to do in terms of contacting the school?
I think that a lot of schools do have someone who works on outreach. And so if your first contact is with the school and make it very clear that you want to become more involved but you don't know exactly how, many schools have interpreters available. They have materials in different languages. The challenge is always that parents from other countries think they're not supposed to get involved. That's the biggest issue. I just worked with families in a school in South Africa for 3 weeks on a volunteer project, on a family engagement project, and these parents had never been involved in school, which is very typical outside the U.S. And we talked about their hopes and dreams for their children. And at the very first meeting, one of the parents who spoke through an interpreter said, "Thank you so much for giving this opportunity to us, because we do have hopes and dreams for our children, but nobody has ever asked us, and you're helping us find it." So I think we have to go in with that mindset that immigrant parents came here for the education. We need to make sure they understand that in the United States, you are welcomed in school, you are supposed to be a part of school, and we'll help you find a place. But I would start with the school itself. If the school isn't set up for that, try to find some organizations from your ethnic group, and a lot of them have very strong communities here. They have religious institutions, they have community organizations. Those organizations usually have contact with the schools, or at least can make that contact for you. But don't just sit back and say, "Oh, I'm not supposed to be involved in school. I respect the teachers so much, I'm not going to question them." And that's very typical.
For our listeners who want to pursue some of these issues further, what resources would you suggest?
Well, in case you haven't guessed, I'm a big fan of the PTA organizations. I think they are relevant, and I know they are doing at a national level some wonderful work on developing guidelines for family and community partnerships. They have a lot of guidance on how families can be involved and how to make contact with schools. And they're also working with teachers and principals. So they are forging that partnership. And you can go to the National PTA website, which is pta.org. There's a lot of resources there. I became a PTA president, and when I was asked to do it, I sort of looked around and said, "I don't know if I've even been to a full PTA meeting." And they said, "Don't worry, there's leadership training." So that's another thing that the National PTA provides, is leadership development, wonderful conferences. I think people need to rethink PTA. It's not outdated by any means. A lot of schools have PTOs, which are not affiliated with a national organization, but are also active in the schools. And there's a very good website called ptotoday.org, where, again, there are resources for families. If you want to know more about how to get involved in a school, particularly if it's a diverse school, I'm going to put in a plug for my own book because it was really written with parents in mind, because that's how I got involved. And it's called Debunking the Middle Class Myth, Why Diverse Schools Are Good for All Kids. You can get it through Amazon. And I also have a website, and that's www.embracediverseschools.com. And I do think that it is very rewarding to be part of a diverse school as a parent. One last point about that is that parents often say to us, well, at least the kids get to go to school with each other. They get to know each other by sitting next to each other in class. Well, if you get involved in these parent organizations and do some outreach, you get the benefits of that too. My life has been so incredibly enriched through getting involved in this diverse school.
Well, you have certainly enriched this interview immeasurably, and all of the parents out there who are wondering how to be involved in their children's schools, I think, have gotten an awful lot from what you've had to say. So, Eileen Kugler, thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Eileen Kugler's book, Debunking the Middle Class Myth, Why Diverse Schools Are Good for All Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 411 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or organizations for generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents' Perspective programming. Parents Perspective Incorporated is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today it's our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Donations can be made online through GiveDirect or iGive.com or MissionFish at eBay. Or you can mail checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015. Thank you for helping us continue to work for you. Our sound engineer is Elizabeth Buckle. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.